Welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
Well, this is our last podcast of
2020.
The dumpster fire that was 2020. Clear vision.
What a wow! My vision is blown.
What do you see? What do you see now that all the fire has burned everything down?
Damage and destruction and broken hearts. And it's been just a wonderful year, really, one of the best.
It's been interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It has been kind of a wild ride.
It was so funny, too. We just started out so like, oh my gosh, like not, you know, who would know that you'd have a pandemic?
Who would know?
Nobody.
Oh my God, seriously.
I mean, the people that knew or have been dead for a while that had the last pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where they could have been like, wouldn't look so cheery.
Remember when we were like, oh no, maybe we're going to have to close the studio for 2 weeks.
That's what we put up on the door. We were like, when did we close? Like March 3rd or something?
We're like, a little bit later, because it was like right before Piper's birthday.
Oh, that's right. And then we put a sign up and we're like, we'll be reopening March 24th. And then I remember then
not
everything happened. And
you mean shut down? Okay, like, we'll just permanently shut down. Like, what? Like, seriously, what a weird thing to be like, oh, yeah, we'll be back in a couple weeks. No problem. And then we're like, well, actually, the building is being torn down now.
Actually, it's being torn down. And you're like, remove the sign.
Yeah, but it's also been a cool year for us in a lot of growth ways.
It has been because we've done, as we've talked about in this podcast, so many other things that we wouldn't normally do.
Totally. And I do think it's given us clarity.
It has given us clarity.
So we may joke about it, but in a way, it really kind of is 2020 vision. We got a lot of vision.
I was just hoping it wouldn't have to be like painful.
Well, luckily you didn't so far. Where's some wood that I can knock on? Get sick from COVID, at least.
She just jinxed me.
Well, I knocked on wood.
She knows how. Like, you can just say the word to me.
And she'll
like,
get it.
It's like,
no, it has to come from you. You have to make fun of something, oh, and yeah, then you get it.
And I haven't been making fun of it, have I?
No, because you know that your word is strong in some weird way.
Malaria. What a joke malaria is. Who gets malaria?
You and the big fella up there have some interesting dynamic when it comes to this stuff.
Oh, like, you don't like malaria, I see.
Well, here you go. You can have malaria.
You can have a little malaria if you'd like.
The dengue
fever. I know everyone's like, who's had dengue? I'm like, me? I've had dengue.
Yeah, but say, didn't you say that there's studies to show if you've had dengue, it's like you don't get COVID as easily or something?
Yeah, there's some research from South America because they were seeing in certain areas where the dengue was real high, the COVID was low.
The dengue and the COVID.
And also the other thing is you can get tested for COVID antibodies or something, and you might test positive that you have them, but you have dengue. You were exposed to dengue. There's a confusion happening. And it might be with the test, as it's like testing for RNA or something like that. But, and their viruses are the same in that way.
Oh, weird.
But, yeah, so I told everyone, you know, of course I was bragging to my daughter-in-law who's a nurse. I'm like, well, I'm probably partially immune. And she was like, that's right.
Oh my gosh. But I mean, all things considered, like, I mean, you guys did miss Mike's mom's funeral, which is really sad. Like,
that was really hard for
that's
daddy.
That's really hard.
Yeah, it was really hard.
But nobody in your family got sick from COVID. You got a lot of stomach issues this year, but that's not uncommon.
I had the removal of a giant tumor.
Oh, and you had the tumor, and you had a grandson, and your son got married. So you had a good,
I had a lot of clearing out.
Yeah, some clearing out.
You should see the, every time I lift my shirt up, Kaylee's like, that scar is big.
You guys, it's huge.
It's a big scar on your stomach.
Right across the middle of her stomach.
I mean, I was building up some stuff. Some gunk, obviously. Some gunk in my trunk. But not my trunk. My boot. No, not my boot. What's that area called? My hood. Under my hood.
Under your hood. You had some gunk.
I had some gunk under my hood. So thank you, 2020, for that clearing out.
That was nice.
And that wonderful clear vision.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, the clouds are finally breaking. I can smell the coffee cooking. I don't know what that means.
She doesn't drink coffee.
I don't drink coffee.
Clearly, she doesn't know it doesn't cook.
She already brought me tea too early, so just be ready.
Okay. So, final
pillar.
What is it?
What is it?
say it, you know.
Do I do a gender first?
Oh, that's a good question.
I froze up on myself. You know how that is.
I mean, I guess that, yeah. We had said it's women's empowerment, but maybe that's not.
Maybe that's too. I mean, we're very trying to be very aware of our language. And yes. We don't want to be exclusive.
And our thoughts, not even just what we speak, but how we think.
Well, and like, yeah, you understand, like, how you speak is really reflective of how you think. Like,
well, I'm yeah. Like, oh.
Isn't that weird?
How does that work? I think a thought and then I say
it. I know, it's weird. It's weird. I'm just learning that now at 58.
You're like, wait a minute. I think I'm onto something.
Oh, I think I could write a book on this. The thoughts I think, no, affect the words I say. Huh? Do you guys like that? $1 million bestseller right there. Get ready for it. Change your life.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
But I think we are really talking about in a traditional patriarchal society.
Uh-oh.
What?
Society.
Well, I was going to say structure or society, yeah. And then I went with society.
Oh, good choice.
There's a little structure thrown in there.
Shire.
Okay, but anyway. I think in a traditional patriarchal society, there is, yes, we're drawn to women's empowerment. If we're going to speak in very binary terms.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And ULA in general tends to affect women more. Of course, there are some wonderful men that I love deeply.
You do love them deeply.
I do love them deeply.
You're like, you're my best friend.
They're like, stop talking to me. I have to stop talking to you now? I have to talk to these other people now? Anyway, that's another story, friends. But,
oh, God.
Yeah, so we want to talk about the final pillar, which we feel is, we don't feel, we selected it. We actually selected this pillar. Again, thoughts and words, they're interconnected, is women's empowerment. Women's empowerment. She's laughing. I've lost her. Women's empowerment. If I say it 10 more times.
Oh. But you kind of quiver before you say it, like, uh-oh, is this wrong?
I know.
You're like, women.
Women's empowerment.
Oh, my God. Yeah, women's empowerment. It's important to us.
It's important to us. Why is it important to us?
Why is it important to us? Because I feel like.
She kind of got. She can't stop laughing. Her eyes are watering.
Oh, my God. Well, I just think that balance is one of the most important things. Oh, my God. Now I've lost her. What?
You're all balance.
Well, it is about balance.
We talk about balance a lot.
The universe is constantly seeking balance.
It is.
What's it's always coming in. It's equilibrium. So for me, it's just about like, it's not about domination. It's not like we need women to like run everything and take over the world, which would not be a bad thing in my opinion. But what I think is important is just a balancing of energy, a balancing of roles, and honestly, a belief in oneself that one has the capacity and the ability to live the life that they were meant to live, to fulfill their dreams. And I feel, especially as a woman and a mom and a wife, like there are often times that I get into, this place of, am I, like, what is my purpose? What is my role?
Am I fulfilling myself?
Can I be this and that? And, you know, very gender stereotype. You know, it's like more expected for women to surrender a lot of other parts of who they are to fulfill the role of mom and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that you can do it all.
And even for women that aren't mothers and wives, or I feel like I've run into these women throughout my life. I hit them sometimes. No, just kidding.
You've hit them?
No, because I said I've run into them. Oh, and I'm like, what does that mean? You've run into them. That's like, again, semantics. Like, what is that? But anyway, but even women who are on career paths maybe, or who haven't chose to have children or to marry, I feel like a lot of times they question, like, should I be in this role or should I be striving for this?
Totally.
Is that okay for me to do that?
Right.
I was just thinking about that testimonial we got from that woman who has never done a class in person. Yeah. And she emailed us a couple days ago and was just like, wow.
We love you, by the way. Thank you for
that. I know. I don't know you and you don't know us, but wow, we love you. But it was really powerful because she said, you know, just through doing Ula online, she's realized that she's more than just a wife and a mom. So sorry to start my you know, thoughts about being just, you know, including the wife and mom, because that's obviously very a specific situation. But I was just really, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just shocking to me mm-hmm. that, you know, like someone can feel like through dancing, whatever this thing is that we're doing, they can reclaim or get back in touch with parts of them that are not just their role. And I just thought that was so cool.
I love that. I love that. Even like meeting parts of yourself you've never met.
Uh-huh.
I think sometimes in Ula, I meet parts of myself I didn't realize I had.
Yeah.
Or maybe I didn't have and I've developed them.
Yeah. Or sometimes I feel like even in Ula, I feel like I'm getting in touch with things that maybe aren't even mine. They're mm-hmm. just like coming through and it feels really important.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's why we always
say
that. That's
a very good point.
We're not just dancing our own stories. Like I said this in class yesterday because I've been thinking a lot about this. I'm like, why is that song Warriors by Imagine Dragons? Like, that song feels really, really, really powerful to me. And I'm like, what am I so emotionally charged for with when it comes to this song? I don't know. All I know is that there's something really powerful that happens inside of me when I dance to this song. And so one of the beautiful things about like holding space is just there is somebody who needs to feel like I am a warrior mm-hmm. and that they have a place that they can just like really activate that energy mm-hmm. and like, you know, the strength that they feel or receive, they can then use that in other parts of their life. Cause remember, that's what this is all about. It's like whatever happens in Ula, it's meant to make changes outside of Ula. Like that's the whole point of it.
Mm-hmm. Because you start, it becomes more the parts of yourselves become more and more familiar to yourself, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like maybe parts you've ignored or parts you didn't even know you had, a powerful part, mm-hmm. A sad part. Sometimes some of us cover up all our sadness and suddenly you start realizing like, oh, I've had this whole reservoir of sadness I've been very reluctant to tap into. Mm-hmm. And then in Ula, you feel safe enough to tap into it. And suddenly you feel like you can go out in the world and kind of share your stories maybe about that sadness.
Right.
And how wonderful, because in that process, I feel like Ula is just the little, as we've talked about, the little pebble in the pond.
Yes.
Because the human then goes out into the world. She shares her story about something maybe traumatic that's happened to her. And suddenly a woman or a person that's never done Ula before is benefiting
right
from this person's experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like how amazing is that?
Yeah. That's really, I mean, so it much. That's really cool.
So much beyond, so much greater than just the classroom or just that Ula experience.
Yeah. And I think part of it too, which isn't women's empowerment, it's just empowerment. Mm-hmm. It's like to be able to feel like you can be exactly as big or as loud as you are meant to be and take up space and, you know, be emotional and be powerful and be all of these things. Like it's even just a matter of, gosh, imagine what the world would look like if everyone was like brave enough.
Brave enough.
Brave enough. There's like definitely a bravery piece to this.
Yes.
To just show up in the world as who they are authentically. And I think there's something about Ula where it's like, I get to be my authentic self in this space. And I get to, as we keep saying, meet parts of myself that don't always have a place in the rest of the world. But man, if those pieces are in us, like they are part of what makes us whole. And when we're whole, like then it's like we can do
I believe, all these really powerful and important things.
And that's what I think sometimes when you're whole, your purpose emerges.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Or maybe you've already been doing it.
Right.
But suddenly the picture of it becomes clear. Like, oh, that's why I'm doing mm-hmm. all this work. Or that's why I'm on this path, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because you just get a much better vision, clarity.
And I think it also...
And comfort. Like,
yeah.
Oh, maybe I am powerful. Maybe you weren't comfortable with that before. For whatever reason, you were trained not
totally.
To be, you know what I mean?
Well, and I think that's part of why it's important why we say women's empowerment, because women traditionally aren't trained to be powerful.
Mm-mm. No, and it's more like, I was just thinking about our self-image thing. Is like when I got older and got more attractive for that middle section of my life, it was all about like, oh, how powerful, you're just so attractive.
Right.
But I remember thinking like, oh, I guess I'm not. I remember being diminished in power.
Oh,
I remember feeling like, oh, that's it then. That's all I got.
Yeah.
And now it's like coming into my later years as coming like, no, you are powerful.
Right.
You are powerful beyond how people view you.
Totally. Well, and that kind of ties into what I was just thinking too. Like there is something about Ula that makes me feel whole and filled. And then I found like I need less of other people to fill me up.
That's very true.
Like I was even thinking, you know, sometimes I'll – when I go home and I'm with my husband or whatever, like I don't need as much from him because I feel like I've kind of given myself, I've like fed myself in ways that I'm not constantly seeking other people to do for me.
Well, and what I've noticed is when I wasn't doing Ula.
Oh yeah.
I became.
Heinous bitch.
I became.
Thank you, dear friend.
I became.
Grumpy.
Grumpy and like very insecure.
Oh yeah, and you need very, a bunch of
and that made me even grumpier.
Totally.
Like, don't be insecure. Do not do this.
Yes.
But it was almost like because I wasn't filling my cup how I normally fill it.
Yeah.
That suddenly it was like kind of like going around and being mad at people because I'm like, well, you're not filling it for me.
Yeah.
And I remember my husband like, what are you asking me to do?
Right.
And why are you know, we've been married for 30 years.
Right.
Why is this happening right now?
Yeah, why are you doing this now?
Well, obviously you don't love me. I knew you didn't. I've known for 30 years, you know, and then my children, even my grown children, I'm like, nobody texted me.
Oh my God.
Obviously, they don't love me. And so it was that you start to capture. So that's also a signal to us, I think.
Yeah.
To me is like, is your cup empty? Honey.
Yeah.
Do you have an empty cup?
Yeah.
Because you're looking around to everybody and then you're mad at them that they're not filling it.
That they're
for
not
you.
Filling it. Yeah. Like, I do think that there's something important about that.
Mm-hmm.
Songs like Toy, songs like even Confetti, I'm like, why do I feel so pissed off inside? You know, like she's saying in Confetti, she's like, oh, you didn't love me then, but now you do. And I'm like, what? Like, now you love me? I'm like, what are you so worked up about, Kaylee?
Right, yeah.
This is not your story. But that's the cool thing. Like, it's still a story.
I'm still
a woman.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's something, it's almost like a sisterhood thing that I'm feeling for whoever is singing this that I'm like, yeah, I can create a space for you to be this pissed off. I'll get really pissed off too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
oh yeah, and what's the song where we do? What's the "You've Got to Feel"?
You've got to feel to let it feel.
So the other day we're dancing it, and of course I'm a white female. I would say I'm privileged, definitely privileged.
I would say that
white
too.
Female, and we're dancing the song, and then I'm doing it was like 2 weeks ago, and I'm doing the live class, and suddenly I'm like, the world is I said the United States is unfair. There's nothing equal about this place. And I started shouting about, I just passed a man in a wheelchair asking for food.
Oh,
I'm like, how can that be right in our country?
Yeah.
And suddenly I'm like, who is this?
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't even think about it earlier the day, but that song and the movement just made me suddenly be like, this whole thing is not equal. We are not equal here.
So not equal.
And it just like broke my heart. But I wouldn't have had that experience if I hadn't danced that song.
Right, exactly. It's like opening yourself up to whatever messages come through. Because yesterday, I don't know if you could hear me, but when I was teaching that song, she goes, you know, it's like Land of the Free, da 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 da.
Land of the Free. That's
and
the
I was
thing.
Like, I was like, BS. It's not. I said, you know, something about like, I was like, who's it free for? And I said, I said, but it is free for me. And now it's my job to fight like hell for those who it's not free for.
Yes.
And then I was like, okay, okay, okay. So something is happening here too for me. Like, I think I'm feeling angry, even though it's not my situation.
It's not your story.
But again, this is, it can't just end in Ula, you know? So then I was like, okay, so like, now what are you going to do about
this? It's like yeah,
because even when I was like, I'm going to fight like hell, I'm like, okay, so like, what are you going to do?
I'm like, do I go down and volunteer at the PAV?
Right. That's
that's our homeless shelter. Yeah.
But it's, you know, and it's a curious thing too, because I feel this is, you know, it's really important. And I keep talking about this in classes. Like, if you have the strength right now, if you have the privilege right now, it is an obligation to fight for those who don't. Like that's something we all need to be doing together. Like, we are in this together. There are going to be times that I don't have strength for something, and I hope that there are people who are there to help me, you know? And so where you have strength, where you have extra resources, where you have privilege, that is a place that, you know, we have to really question, okay, now how do I how do I share some of this? Because right now I have a surplus. It's not, you know, I have a surplus of some resources. And so how can I share them? How can I try to make change because I have the strength or the passion or the power to do so?
Right.
And so I don't know. It's like really cool because I do think that so many times I just am getting like downloads while I'm dancing. You know, I think more than anything, we talk about you know, meditation and all that. There was that great article that I shared in the community about how, you know, meditation can be more stressful
for some people,
especially if they have anxiety. And, you know, I just get like my downloads through music and movement. And then these things come through and I'm like, oh my gosh, well, yeah, that's it.
Some people would say that's a form of meditation.
It is. I mean, it totally is.
I think Ula for me is definitely a form of meditation because I am no longer in my everyday world, you know, like the busy mind, the monkey mind kind of going around and being like, does anybody love me? What groceries do I need to get? What time should I take Ray to the basketball practice? You know, all those thoughts always running through your head. And then suddenly in Ula, we have to focus.
You just have to focus.
You have to focus.
Or you lose your place.
You lose your place. And that's happened, right? I'm sure it's happened to all of you sometimes where suddenly you're just like
cheddar cheese on the grocery list. Oh, no.
Oh, where are we? I'm like, where are we? I'm like, why is everyone going to the right and I'm still standing here in the middle? You know, so it is a form of meditation. We just got caught up kind of maybe in the semantics of meditation, but it removes you.
Yeah.
And puts you in a higher plane, I think.
Yeah.
In terms for empowerment, what we're talking about. It removes you from the mundane, from the trap of your own ego.
Yes, absolutely. Do you know the guy who does Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man?
No.
Oh, I've so heard good. Of it. His name's, what is it? Is it Emmanuel somebody? He's so awesome. He was on Yoga Girls podcast the other day. And one of the things he was talking about with like privilege is he was like, okay, so he's like, for me, like I'm a celebrity, you know, I have like a celebrity privilege now and people give me things. And he said, so now for me, one of the ways I can use this privilege is by what do I can give all of these like extra, like, let's things say I'm away. Just like, yeah, I can give them away.
Yeah.
And so I was just thinking about that, like in terms of power, empowerment, like I have, you know, there where I have a surplus, can I give it? Can I share it with people who need it?
Yes.
And so I don't know. I thought that that was an interesting thing. I don't know. Like with women's empowerment, sometimes it's like, do, let's say like, I mean, is it even,
can it be empowering too for someone who maybe doesn't feel like they can make those steps to get out of whatever situation? Is it helpful for them to then see a bunch of women who are standing in their power?
Oh, for sure. Can that be
empowering? You know, so it's like, how are we using any of our surplus to help serve?
Well, and with Ula, I think, you know, we are changing people's lives. We just did a, that sounds very,
I know, I was like, wow.
But we just did, a fire ceremony the other night, just a simple ceremony where we let go into the universe these wonderful thoughts and letters that people wrote to us at the old studio.
Yeah.
And we read through each and every one of them. And it was, because sometimes, of course, in our work, like anybody's work, it's hard to think like, are we, you know, is this impactful? And if it's impactful, is it impactful in a helpful way?
Right.
In a loving way? And then when we read these letters, it was just like, oh my gosh, like you realize, like, you know, you give people the ability, whether it's like just to be able to wake up in the morning and be like, I can get through this day.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes that's the biggest thing some of us will do is like, will I make it through this day?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know what? I can make it through this day. I just danced right. with Kaylee yesterday, you know, whatever. These three songs hit me.
Mm-hmm.
They struck me. They affected me. And suddenly I feel strong enough to be able to like wake up, go to work, do my stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess kind of maybe one of the questions for me too, I'm thinking like, well, how does anything that I'm doing help other people feel empowered?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I'm like, well, is it a surplus thing? Like, what am I doing? Can I model empowerment? Like, I think this is one of my questions because I do kind of, you know, I do have to, and we mentioned this in a previous podcast, I do have to come to terms with the fact that, you know, like I am a straight woman. I am married. I'm a white straight woman mm-hmm. married to a white straight man. Mm-hmm. Like I don't make the money in the family. I, you know, have very, I have very gender role specific jobs around the house.
Mm-hmm.
So who the fuck am I to stand up for women's empowerment? Like I am a pretty much like maybe besides having a job, I guess, like I'm kind of on paper, like a model,
Well, but what you're doing, I think women's empowerment is more like, are you living the life you want to live?
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Not yes. like, am I an activist or am I running for state senate or am I working at the Pavarello Center? You know what I mean? Or, you know, am I working for social justice?
Right.
Specifically for social justice, right?
Yeah.
But I think I also love what Kaylee had a reading the other day with a nice
tarot card reading yeah.
with a nice person. I didn't meet the person, obviously, but one of the things that came out of the reading that struck me was that Ula is an entity.
Oh yeah, you liked that.
I love that because it just like for me, it's like, well, Ula is teaching me how to live a better life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, and so if I want to implement social justice measures into my life, or you know, whatever it might be, volunteer more. Give more resources to different groups. I feel like Ula has empowered me to start considering that. Do you know what I mean? Like now that I'm out mm-hmm. of because sometimes, of course, Ula has empowered others, like we've said, for a woman just to get up in the morning or for another woman to change her job. Trajectory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, sure. or to leave.
We've seen that a lot.
We've seen that. Or to leave a partner.
We've seen that a lot too.
Those things are very, very hard things to do, as we all know.
They are.
So I feel now this part of my life, like you were saying, I feel very secure in my job choice and my partner choice and that type of stuff. So then it's like, oh, so how else can Ula teach me
mm-hmm.
to give to my community?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think also I really fight for justice and fairness within my marriage, you know,
yeah.
like even just modeling, like healthy relationship is
for the kids too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh my goodness. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting. I just still am so, I'm still so like inspired by stories not having to be our own to still feel really powerful.
I love that.
You know, like the song Toy, I just still cannot get over like how powerful that song feels for me, even though it's just, it's really not my story.
My song. Yeah, not my story either.
It's but not my story.
When we dance it, man, I'm just like, I am when we definitely dance it, that person. I'm all like, yeah.
I am dancing like as if it were my story.
Yeah.
And I am an energy, like I energy is really important to me. And I do think that the, when we do our own healing work, when we do healing work in general, energetically, I believe that it's felt and affected by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if all of the humans in the world, and this is, I do think that healing is a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine if every human in the world could do their own healing work, the world would change.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone would benefit from that. Yeah. And so one of the other things that I have thought a lot about is like, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, what's the purpose of self-love? Like, isn't it better actually just to be kind and loving to other people? Like, is it almost like selfish to be like, oh, self-love is the greatest love? Is that, I mean, I say it and I want to believe it, but then sometimes I'm like, yeah, but really, shouldn't I choose to go play Candyland with my kids as a form of loving them than if I really need to like go for a walk or something? Shouldn't I choose the selfless choice?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is the balance like but you talked about too.
I think that when you think about like energy and vibrations, like if I am in a higher vibration state, self-love is going to elevate my vibration, and vibrations can be felt. So there are things that we have to, you know, that we kind of have to, or at least for me, I have to say, you know what? By me doing this type of work, it actually is going to benefit. It's going to have that, you know, that ripple effect that we talk about. And when we do songs like Toy, I feel like there is something healing energetically that is happening that I'm hopeful.
It's like a communal healing.
It has a communal effect.
Yeah.
And that's why we do some of these songs. And, you know, like we've said a million times, we got so much pushback on that song. Like, well, my husband is a great person. Or it's not about your husband.
So my husband is too.
It's not about the situations that have gone right. It's about the situations that have gone wrong. That's what we're here to heal.
And the other thing is, it's not about you.
It's not. It can be.
It can be, but sometimes it's not. And that's the communal piece, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Can you get that, like, for you, it's your husband's wonderful, and that's great. And maybe your daughter's husband is wonderful. That's awesome. But can you understand that, but these 10 other women over here, that's not the story for mm-hmm. them. And mm-hmm. I think when that's teaching us empathy.
It is teaching us empathy.
We're like, oh, so but your story is different than mine.
Oh my gosh. And I can kind of feel how your story must feel when I'm dancing this
exactly.
song.
Exactly.
And so again, like we've talked about this before, but that's why Ula is empathy in action.
Empathy
you know?
In action. It totally is.
It is. It's empathy in action. And I love that because it's like, oh shit, I can feel that story when I'm dancing.
That makes it so powerful to me too, because I know my story. Mm-hmm. I mean, I already know like, yeah, that happened. Yeah, you're grumpy about this. Yeah, you had an eating disorder. You're struggling with your body image. Well, I know those stories pretty well.
Right.
But when I get to hear another person's story, I feel almost unlocked. Mm-hmm. Like I'm all like, oh, well, what's your story?
Right.
And then I'm like, it gives me perspective on my story too. Yeah. So it's almost that symbiotic relationship.
And that's empowering to get huge. Unstuck from your own story sometimes.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, that's empowerment right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, because it's almost like what you were saying, the self-love piece.
Yeah.
Because if my cup is not full, then I'm going to jam it with a bunch of stuff.
Right.
And some of it may not be good.
Totally. Well, you see that everywhere.
Everywhere. So we're jamming it versus like, oh, so I can fill my cup with my self-love. And I can fill my cup with love for others. It's that symbiotic, like, but if I have no self-love, sometimes I'm like, fuck you.
Totally.
You know, I don't get your story. I do that all the time. I'm like, you know, I just get super jealous or like, you know,
you're just a white privileged blah, 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 or whatever it is, you know.
Right.
And it's because I'm, my cup isn't full and I'm just angry.
Yeah. 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 I totally think that. And that is, I mean, that's really empowering because it's hard to be in our fullness when we feel empty. And when we are in our fullness, that it does give us a power. It does give us this ability, this confidence, this trust that things will work out, this trust in myself, this trust that I will be supported both, you know, energetically and from my community in these different ways. Like, that's empowering.
Oh, it's huge. I have a super simple story about empowerment and ULA, and it happened 2 days ago.
Oh, cool.
So me and my husband are in the hot tub. I just got a hot tub. I know, I'm privileged. I apologize. But got a hot tub, and we were in the hot tub the other night, and our son was on an overnight somewhere else. So we're in the hot tub hanging out. And I'm like, I'm kind of jazzed. Like, I'm like, oh, we're in the hot tub and we're having so much fun and we're chatting and we're chatting and chatting and chatting. And suddenly my husband, Mike, goes, you are shouting. He's like, you are talking so loud that everyone on this block can hear you. He was kind of laughing about it, but he was like, you're really loud. Like, really, really loud. And you know what? It just, like, stabbed me in the heart. Because that's one of my triggers, right? And I was like, I wanted to shut him out. You know, he could tell that it was hard for him to tell me. But he wanted to tell me because I'm shouting stuff throughout the whole neighborhood. Just shouting, having this wonderful conversation. And suddenly I was like, I don't want to talk to him anymore. I want to go up to my room. Nobody likes me. This reminds me that I'm too loud. I'm too much. I am too powerful. I need to shut this thing down.
Right.
Go away. And I'm tearing up as I talk about it. It's so moving for me, even though it's a dumb story. And he comes over and he's trying to talk to me, like, soothingly. He's not apologizing for what he said, because I was probably too loud. Then suddenly I remembered kind of like all our ULA, like just dancing in class. And I'm like, I just self-soothe myself. Aww. I'm like, you're okay. You were just loud for that moment.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you don't have to take this whole cascade into that you're a bad person you're too loud. You were just too loud for a moment, my friend. But I would have not been able to do that without ULA. I can tell you that much. I would not, because it was almost like, and I wanted to, he doesn't even know. Like, I wanted to burst into tears. And he kept talking to me for like 10 minutes. And I was like, just keeping it together. Like, I'm going to break down. I'm going to break down. But inside I'm like, you're going to be okay. You're totally okay. You're a great person. And it
worked. So interesting.
It worked. That's so good. That little minuscule self way.
Right. Right.
If I didn't have ULA, I would have definitely gone down the road I've gone down many times before.
That's awesome.
So I'm very appreciative of the work that we do. Because even in those minuscule moments, that's how ULA affects people.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're a powerful person. Even powerful people, maybe you make mistakes. Maybe you're too loud. Maybe you're not.
Yeah.
But you're okay with you.
It's so interesting how you and I are so different in that way. Like, if Rob told me I was too loud, I'd be like, okay, whatever. But if a stranger told me I was too loud, oh my God,
strangers, I don't care. My
that God. Would like really devastate me. I'm if like, somebody that I you. Don't, that doesn't love me.
Yeah.
Gives me feedback, then I take it really, really hard.
Yes.
But if someone I love you and loves me. You have
secure attachment with your love people.
I do. I have really, I trust their love, but you don't.
I don't.
BBs.
Poor BBs.
Poor BBs.
That's from my childhood.
Very, very interesting. And I'm just so impressed that our instructors can do this. Like, this is a hard thing to ask people to do.
Oh my goodness.
I'm just so in awe that all of our instructors everywhere are like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to teach this really hard song, and I'm going to hold space for all of this stuff, whether or not it feels comfortable for me, whether or not it's my story, somebody else's story. Maybe it is my story. And this is really, really hard to do in front of a bunch of people and cue and hold space for them. Like, I'm just so in awe of our instructor community. Oh, like, it's goodness. Amazing.
You guys are, the instructors are amazing. And it's been amazing through the years going and watching people change, of course, which we've already talked about a few times, but when we go to a training and, you know, it's their first time and it's like, there goes Jane. And she's like, okay, I'll do a little song for you. I'm going to teach this song really quickly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then we go back a year later.
Holy cow.
Jane's like, move aside. I've got the song. You know, it's like, and suddenly Jane has blossomed into this magnificent, magnetic, powerful creature.
People even look different after. Like, people are sometimes like unrecognizable. I'm like, wow.
Oh, yeah. I'll be like, who's that?
Oh, totally.
You know, and, totally. And that's just from like maybe they've taught for a year.
It's really cool.
And even the participants, you know, as you see them progress through the years, it's like, do you remember she was at the back of the class?
Isn't that wild? I mean, just dancing around to music. Just like, dancing around to music and crazy. Shouting. And shout. It's like, God, we just want, like, we just want to express ourselves.
Yeah, and we're all kind of bottled up.
We want to trust that we'll be accepted when we do.
We really
I think that's
do.
A big piece of it, too. Like, I think that's why the community.
That's a big piece right there, Kaylee. You hit the nail on one of the things is just that people, what did you just say? It was good.
That you have to trust that you'll be accepted when you actually, like, express yourself.
There you go. Yeah, because you're like, that's empowerment.
That is empower. I mean, if you know that you're, like, you're not going to be shunned for being, like, you know.
Or shamed
for, like, actually just being your full self or crying or going in the wrong direction or making weird noises. Or
grunting.
Like, whatever it is. And everyone is like, you're cool. It's fine.
Everyone's like, nobody I loved cares. It. That was great. People clap. You're like, what?
Well, even just as a participant, you know, just like, you know, you don't even have to be the instructor.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's like you can just show up and be yourself. Like, isn't that all we really want to do is like be seen and loved and heard?
And not shamed. Not be like all, oh, that's, you're wearing the wrong clothes.
You kick to the left when we all kick to the right. You're out of our club.
You're out of our line.
It's ew. Like. Yeah, but a lot of life feels that way.
A lot of life feels that way. I often think everything's like that. Like, I'm like, oh, I can't go in the, you know, the mall area because people will look at me because I'm doing it wrong. I'm like, who's looking at you?
Nobody.
Nobody. But not one person.
But, I mean, I think that's a different example because I think there are a lot of places where we do feel like people are looking at us and they are looking at us. And if we mess up, we will be called out on it.
Yeah, that's how we learned.
Yeah, for sure. There's just like, I do think that there's just like an ease to be around people who are in ULA. Like, you know, I don't know, just, I, maybe it's this age group that I'm in or something, but like everyone's trying to like prove themselves or something.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And it's really hard, like sometimes because I don't want to play that game.
No, I hate that game.
It's just like, I don't want to play that game. Like, I don't want to have to say all the right things and read all the right books and wear all the right clothes and like have all the perfect meal. Like, I just don't want to do it. It's tiring.
Yeah, they're like, what? Well, I'm cooking this diet now or whatever from this cookbook or whatever. And it's like, oh, I went to Taco Bell.
Oh, gross.
You know, and then some of these groups, everyone's like, I haven't been there in 30 years. And I'm like, I know, I'm sorry, but I was super hungry and I wanted the cheese quesadilla, you know, but it's just a wonderful.
Oh, funny.
You know, ULA has freed me up in that way of like, you know, I don't really care too much, of course, but we do have different attachment styles. I only care if the people I like me.
Right.
Because half the time I think they don't, which of course they do. They're your friends, you dumbass. Jeez.
Seriously.
What is that about?
I don't know, but I'm like, why are you so upset? Like, what is going on? You're like, fine, it's fine. Never mind. Can you come over? No, I can't. It's fine. Okay. Never I'm like, well, I guess our friendship is over now.
Thank God I do. Thank goodness I'm doing ULA, because then think how worse I was before.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine. No wonder I had no friends. Being your friend before this.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'm busy too. So whatever.
So fuck you, bitch.
Fuck you, bitch. I'm done with you. That's right.
Oh my God. That's why we have to keep you dancing.
Yeah, I have to keep dancing. Otherwise, it gets real. It gets bad, folks. Because there's, you know, I have an empty cup. My cup's empty.
Oh.
Just dumps out every once in a while. I'm sure you guys can relate. I'm like, I think my cup just dumped out. Don't
or you dropped it and shattered it.
I shattered my cup again for the fifth time today.
I slammed my cup on the ground.
Bam! I never even wanted a full cup.
Oh, my God. So one thing that I do think is important and interesting to talk about is you know, a lot of like women's empowerment, especially, well, only this year I've heard about it, is like, it's only geared towards white women.
Oh.
And so a lot of like the black leaders that I follow now, or just, am, you know, reading, in my readings, it's like, well, how are you doing women's empowerment to be inclusive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think that there's, you know, I'm trying to figure that out, you know, like, are there ways that we could be more inclusive in the spaces that we're creating? Like, are we actually who are we empowering?
Yeah.
Like, how can we be more empowering for everyone?
People of color and also people with different gender identities, you know, different whatever.
Right, right. Which has been actually, to be totally honest, a really tricky thing for me this year, because one of the things that we have that is like really important to the way we speak about ULA is that we create safe places, mm-hmm. that we create safe spaces, that we are inclusive.
We want to be inclusive. We want to have safe spaces.
And so some of my questions are like, well, when a person, regardless of the color of their skin, their gender, like any of the things that we could, you know, I don't know,
that make us different,
that make us different, or the same, or whatever.
Right?
Are like what type of an environment? Like, because for me, I just rely so much on the music and the movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I'm like, well, is there a different way we should be teaching? If the spaces were just more diverse, is that what would create more safety and inclusion and a sense of belonging? Is part of that demographic? Is there something that we need to be doing different in terms of like literally the spaces,
how
that
the spaces look?
Look like, yeah. So I'm really hoping that we can continue to do the work that is empowering for everyone. I mean, yes, we say women, but I do want to be empowering for everyone. Like that to me is the purpose of this work, is for people to quote Frozen, step into your power, grow yourself into something new. Like that's my favorite song because it's so true. All of those lyrics are so powerful. Like step into your power, grow into something new. You are the one you've been waiting for. Like it's like the lyrics for that Frozen song are everything that I feel like ULA strives to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so then how are we doing that for everyone? Like, you know.
So everyone feels included, you know, as best.
And like they belong.
Yes.
You know, like that, like they belong.
Or even if it's like, even if they don't, that they feel included and they can decide like, but I still don't want to do
but
it.
But I didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I think that's totally fine. But I just want to make sure that they feel like you're invited.
It's not my vibe.
Yeah.
Fine.
Totally.
But did you feel like you were welcome and included?
Exactly.
That's what I care about.
Yes. And that's what we need to.
Not everybody needs to love ULA, but everybody, when they are in an ULA space, needs to feel like that's their space too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the great things, not great things, the hard things about this year is just understanding the importance of inclusion.
Totally.
You know, it's just like, geez, you know, where have we been?
I know.
To not know.
Well, and we live in such a, like, I mean, it's where we live. It's like.
Oh, I looked up the stats on it, you know. Like,
yeah, it's like
95% white people.
So it's just like not, like, it's just not something I live with day to day, you know. And so for us, like, how are we making sure that wherever you live, whatever you look like, whatever your story is, you have a place in ULA spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we need to keep doing that work because, like I've said many times, I don't like to have these beliefs unless they feel universal. I don't want to say we like
only for white middle class women.
If you're a white middle class woman, you're going to feel like you totally belong here.
You totally are invited.
Yeah. So this is something that I hope that we can continue to really be empowering for all.
For
you know?
All. Right. Because empowerment should be for all, you know.
I know. But then, you know, then the Libra in me, which I know you hate when people say that. That's fine. But I do really, balance is important to me. So then I'm like, yeah, but I'm not so concerned about you feeling empowered.
Right.
I always, you know, I want to make sure that the person who generally
doesn't feel empowered
feels yes. empowered. You know, I'm not right. going to spend a lot of time creating safe spaces for white males to feel
safe,
powerful.
Right.
I'm just not interested in that.
Right. And that's not our journey with that.
Right.
Yeah.
But is that wrong to say?
No, I don't think so. I think there are, you know.
I think that there's enough spaces that white men feel safe in.
Yeah.
To feel their power.
And that's something I'm just, you know, I don't feel, it's not my it's journey. It's not your kuleana. Not my kuleana, and we say in Hawaiian. So it's just one of those things you are like, you kind of have to pick like what your kuleana is.
Yeah,
like,
what is
and
my,
it comes to you. Like
it's
kind
of part
like,
of our purpose.
Like, it's part I of mean, our purpose. Is your,
I feel very drawn
and
to
you
women.
You feel it. You feel, that's the thing about kuleana is you feel it.
You feel, oh, that's a cool
it.
Way to
you
say
you know,
it.
Like you're like, oh, I know what it is.
Oh, I know what yeah. I feel is important to me.
Yes.
And that's another thing that the women who did my reading, she said, is she's like, whoa, you have so much feminine energy around you.
Oh.
And for me, it's not even about gender because I believe that we all have masculine energy and feminine energy within us. A male has feminine energy. A woman has feminine energy. Non-binary, I still believe, has feminine energy. So for me, what I'm more interested in is seeing feminine energy be empowered because I think that we're very out of balance between masculine and feminine energy. And when we have a more balanced energy system, then we all can be healthier and we can all thrive. I think people who identify as male, they also really benefit from a feminine energy
mm-hmm.
Being empowered. There's a lot of men who want that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think ULA does create a safe space for
men.
For men.
To explore their feminine
all
energy.
Of their energy.
All their
you
energy.
You know?
Yes.
And
I
women
think that's
as well.
So true. Yes.
And yeah. so I think more, no, I mean, it is a gender thing because I think we do get locked into these gender roles. But feminine energy becoming more powerful is a really, really cool idea for me.
Well, I think the world needs it.
Well, it's been out of balance. You know, any
for a long
powerful
time.
Woman was like, you know, you're a witch or, you know, you're all these things. It's like powerful women have been feared for a very long time.
Yes.
And for me, like, I feel a rage inside about that. So that must be part of my kuleana.
Yeah,
is that like,
yeah, that's
I have a rage inside.
Feeling, strong feeling.
When I think about how powerful women have been feared,
persecuted,
and then persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something inside of me. I don't know if it's at a cellular level. I don't know, but I feel it really strongly.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. I feel like that. I was thinking like my trajectory into ULA, how I started as a therapist years ago. And then I volunteered at the battered women's shelter for 10 years and ran groups there. Cause it was like, and I was pretty young at the time or in my, you know, 30s. And I remember they were like, well, you won't have a lot of perspective for them or whatever.
Mm.
But it didn't matter. It was a group. I learned group work. It wasn't about my perspective. It was what the group was in charge. But I've always been like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
You know, we need to empower these women.
Right.
Like you deserve to have a good life.
Right.
And your children deserve to have a good life.
Right.
That yeah. doesn't mean a rich life, you know,
right.
like financially rich, but it means a secure life
mm-hmm.
and a life free of abuse and trauma.
Right.
So it was just like,
Yeah, that stuff, it's just been on my path.
It's for just a part while. Of your path. It's
part of my path. I didn't even think about it. It wasn't like, I remember when they were like, well, there's a couple things. We could have all volunteered. You go to the prison, you could do the battered women's shelter. There was a bunch of different things. You work at the clinic. And I was like, oh, I'm doing the battered women's shelter.
Yeah. You just knew.
I just knew. I was like, oh yeah, I need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. You just know. When you know, you know.
Yeah, you know. You know, it was like, oh, that's what
I'm doing. Think that is that's something that we need, like, you know, sometimes everybody, yeah, I'm not going to go into that. But I think we know mm-hmm. what we know is our purpose.
Yeah.
And what is part of our path.
Strong feeling about it. It's like all of a sudden you're like, I have to do that. This affects me.
And I am appreciative of like the men who are in our space because there is a very strong female vibe to the spaces.
Yes.
And I just love the men who show up, and who are, they add so much to our community.
I love how they're comfortable with
their own identity.
Yes. Cause so many men in our culture don't feel comfortable.
Like even Mike, who is your husband.
Yeah.
He was like, remember when he had to bring you something and he's like, whoa, I felt like I had to like hide behind the columns.
And he had to have like a spear or something.
He was like, I need like a, because wow, that was a lot of like, a
lot of
powerful feminine energy.
And he felt like, I might be attacked here. Maybe.
Whereas, you know, some of our other guys are like, yeah, it's great. Like,
yeah.
And we're like, yeah, it is great. Come on in.
Yeah. And I think men like Mike aren't just used. They're not used to seeing it. They're like, wow.
Yeah. And like, it's interesting, too, because I was just thinking, I'm like, well, he's around a lot of dudes all the time. Like, but there are women raft guides that he's around. But there is a more of a masculine energy to that type of work.
Yes.
And there's a more feminine energy to our type of work. Yeah. So even like, you know, that's why I think it's important not to just gender. Not to just think about it just as a gender thing, but like an energetic thing.
Yes. And maybe we could even at some point, this will be our life work. To think of better names than feminine or masculine. You know what I mean? Like we take it to the next realm.
Why,
I don't know
though?
What it is. Because
why?
Because sometimes I feel that's like so – because, well, maybe for me it just brings up imagery. You know, like masculine, I see like I'm a woodcutter. You know, I'm out chopping.
But that is masculine energy.
I know, but I'm like, but is it? Or is that just something we learned? Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean like
– maybe we're all one energy. But somehow as humans, we went and got all like split it up or something. We were all like, yeah, well, you know how we kind of fight like that's against you. I'm different than you.
Right.
Even though it's like, we're all human. We're all human.
We are. Well, absolutely. We are all human. We are all one. I believe that. We are all energetically connected.
We're connected genetically.
And genetically. But, like, I do think that it just manifests in different ways.
It does, yeah. But I like the concept of it.
But that's why I love Ula, too, because it actually really gets me in touch with my masculine energy.
For sure, yeah, where I'm all like, yeah.
I like doing that
stuff.
That's
right.
I like the balance of the feminine and the masculine
mm-hmm.
in Ula. Like, to me, that is really empowering. That helps me be my full self.
Right.
And so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would need to think about this or read about this or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm sure lots of people have already done this.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
But yeah, I don't know. It's all really interesting.
But it's about empowerment.
It is about empowerment. And
you see how they're kind of all interconnected, like self-image, purpose, you know, all the pillars, all are like, somehow they all lead to empowerment.
They do. Well, they do. And I think empowerment doesn't have to, like, power, like, has the imagery of force and strength. Like, strength, I think, is so important. But it's like, empowerment doesn't need to be a forceful thing. It doesn't even need to have to be an action word. Like, uh-uh. You can be, like, just still in your power,
uh-huh.
You know? And, like, that is, I think, what we're trying to get to.
Yes. It was like the hot tub story.
Yeah. Just like stand in your power.
I just like for a moment I had to comfort myself with my own power.
With your own power.
My own
your tools. Your self like talk. Your belief. Like, you know, feeling. You could probably even feel the support of your community around you to be like,
I could.
You're not too much.
Yeah, I could hear
you're
your
not too
voice.
Loud.
Yeah, I could hear your voice. I could hear my friends' voices sort of telling me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in the times we've done. And I could even hear my voice talking to women in training.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Saying like, you can, you know, you're a powerful person. Yeah. You can hold this.
You can hold this.
Yeah. And it was just like, and it was, but I, there was no, it wasn't like I was just like, I am powerful. It was almost just the silent.
Well, and I think, you know, the shadow side of empowerment is if you could have said, fuck you, I can be as loud as I want. I don't care about the neighbors. Like that almost maybe from like a different standpoint, that would look like empowerment.
Yes, kind of aggression.
Aggression. But I think what you worked on is that is like the light side of empowerment where you're like, I'm going to sit with this.
Yep.
He's not implying any of these things about me. I know that I am loved, that I can take up space, that I can be loud, but I also recognize that this moment, it's respectful to lower my voice.
Yes, exactly. It's just
respectful to my neighbors to not be so loud.
Right. Has no and that has nothing meaning.
To do with me.
Nothing.
It's not a reflection of myself in any my way, soul. Shape, or form.
No, nothing.
It's just shut up because it's probably midnight.
It's midnight.
And the neighbors are sleeping and your shouting. Voice carries.
Yeah, your voice carries. Well, wow.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, okay.
Oh.
Got it.
How interesting, though, that we have to tell ourselves all these stories.
Yeah, all the stories. But that's the beauty of stories.
That's the beauty of stories. And that's the beauty of Ula. Because it's really full of stories.
It's the healing power of storytelling through music and movement.
It really is. It really is.
Mm. Well, we love you all. Thanks for listening to us rant on. Are we going to keep doing a podcast?
We probably will in 2021.
I get kind of sick of just talking about ourselves. Like part of me is like,
we can start interviewing people.
You guys like stop talking about yourself.
Yeah. You can tell us, you comment to us or message us or email us. We love that stuff.
I know.
And you can say, shut up.
I also want everyone to know that like when we're talking about us, like it's not, you know, like sometimes I feel like, oh my God, we should be like talking more about our instructor. We should be talking more about like other things beyond ourselves. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So I'm like, well, what direction do we need to be going with this podcast?
But of course, we're the experts on ourselves. So it's kind of like.
Yeah, but we're not experts. So who wants to listen to us?
Here it is one more time. Can I talk about my dog?
Can I talk about my insecurities anymore?
Enjoy.
Anyways, thank you for listening. If you're still here with us. And yes, congratulations. We've made it this far.
Woo!
That's saying a lot this year. And it's a privilege and it's a gift to be here. And yeah.
Yeah, we love you. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.